Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure how happy a happy hour is because Justice is stumbling around in the alley drunk and just threw up in the fucking dumpster.
And we're holding back Justice's hair.
While it pukes in the toilet.
So it doesn't get chunks in its hair.
No. And we don't have voting rights yet until my friend Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, is on a hunger strike. I mean, people, come on.
We need it.
We've got to get the voting rights. There is no other issue.
Right. That's what Rob Reiner said to me as we were waiting at the valet for our cars.
Exactly.
I'm just sorry. There is no other issue. Cocktail.
I have become Mrs. Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Mrs. Eagle when I hit on Joe Madison repeatedly, but I am worried. I'm like, eat, Bubba, eat. You're too skinny. We're a hunger strike.
And he laughs every time you call his wife Mrs. Eagle.
It's weird.
He's hot.
Oh my!
I miss him, and I just want him to eat again, please. I'm his Sally Struthers, please, in the arms of
Pass
the John Lewis act so that Joe Madison can eat.
That's not Sally Struthers.
That's not. No.
Is that
not
a different commercial?
Yes.
Get him a fucking sandwich and pass voting rights. That's my point, people.
That was the dogs chained up in the yard.
Also. Also, we have Miles Taylor.
Yes.
Present, not former, present Republican.
Yep.
But anonymous, right?
Yeah.
From the, what's happening to my box? Thank you. Anonymous, he's the, right? But he is working to, save America from the fascism that Donald Trump is bringing. God bless him.
He's the Republican that we need. He's the Republican who's actually going to have a conversation with us and get shit done.
I want to go back to hating him and arguing about other things.
Okay, calm down, girl.
As soon as we save America from the fascism.
I think he was mildly impressed that your dad ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater.
That was a name drop.
That's how I sold him on this interview, by the way.
That's how we drag him in.
Uh-huh. Steph's dad famously lost the election.
And we got to see his little scruffy dog, which was fantastic.
Martini. Yeah.
Yes, his dog Martini.
Adorbs.
Okay.
And if you subscribe to the video podcast, you'll see it too.
Oh, okay. And he's super cute. And he is trying to save America.
Yes, and we need that.
Bless his heart. And we talked about how much it fucking pissed Trump off. Is this anonymous? Remember, he can't even pronounce anonymous.
No.
Is this anonymous needs to be executed? Anonymous.
Manonima.
Ninonima. It's fantastic. Okay. So, please, for God's sakes, help us hold Justice's hair while it pukes in the toilet. While Miles Taylor and Joe Madison trying to get us our democracy back. Okay. Happy, happy hour.
Woo. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Speaking of fine Americans, my Black Eagle has landed. Joe Madison of SiriusXM and My Heart joins us now.
I wish I were there to embrace you. I so miss this, not us all getting together. Yeah. But I got to tell you, I want to say this because I don't get a chance, but I am just a big fan, because when I leave my studio, no, and I don't say this to flatter you. I say it because I appreciate what you do and how you do it. Friday, the Black Power Hour?
Yes, with Brangela. Yes.
People must think I'm crazy when they see me driving and I'm cracking up. But Angela's homegirl from Detroit.
Yes.
You know, I spent 20 years in Detroit.
Yeah.
But they are, you know, send them my love.
I will.
They're good.
They are magic. Mm-hmm. They are magic. You are also magic. I return the favor. You are back in your eagle's nest there at SiriusXM finally. And I am, as you know, a longtime fan of yours as well. And so the first thing when I heard you were doing a hunger strike for voting rights, I was like, no, he's too skinny already. I'm already worried about you. I know you have a Mrs. Eagle, because I've met her and she's beautiful and fantastic, but I'm worried about you. I know this is really a brave and patriotic thing to do, but it's a big deal, a hunger strike.
Yeah. Well, my response to that has been, we should worry about the country.
Yeah.
You know, and I have said this. Look, I kept watching all of these different protests, Stephanie, and then again listening to Francis, Angela, and you guys. I mean, raising hell, and rightfully so. I went into my history book, and I thought about the end of the first Reconstruction, 1877. You had the 14th and 15th Amendment. I'll go through this quickly, because our friend Tom Hartman can give it to you in detail.
Yeah, I always feel like there's going to be a test when I listen to Tom Hartman. I start to sweat, and I'm like, oh.
But what happened was the compromise was to take away federal troops from southern states. And as soon as Rutherford B. Hayes agreed to that, here come the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. They took away the vote of all of black folk, and these black codes and the whole culture of the country changed. And there was also an attitude in the country, even in the North, well, we've done enough for black folk. Mm-hmm. And we gave them the 14th and 15th Amendment. So, you know, we've done enough. Well, you know, for 70, 80 years, the franchise was threatened. And here we are now, what I refer to, Stephanie, as almost the end of the second Reconstruction. And what are they going after? Our vote. Yeah. We've got 400 voter suppression bills that have been introduced in 49 states. Mm-hmm. And the John Lewis bill and the right and the other bills, the other bill, my God, all it does is to prevent, it protects our vote. It keeps it from suppressing us. Well, I got to tell you, I started channeling my mentor, my friend. We've been in more, we used to laugh, we've been in some of the best jails in America, Dick Gregory. And I said, what would Dick do? And I talked to his son, Christian, and he said, you know what? And I talked to him about, we got to do a hunger strike. We just got to, and what's the purpose? Suffragettes, they did a hunger strike in England. Yeah. They did it in America to get the right to vote. So the protest is to get attention.
Yeah.
Now I've got 4 children, 5 grandchildren, 1 great grandchild, and quite candidly, you know, I don't want them to 50 years from now, 30 years from now, look back and see where their vote has been suppressed. So that's why I went on the hunger strike. Yeah. And they have 3 options, everybody. 3 options.
Yeah.
One, the Congressional Black Caucus said, look, reconvene the Senate and take another vote. Now they've knocked it down using the filibuster five times.
They won't even allow debate. Republicans won't even allow debate.
Won't even allow debate. And I'm not going to sit here with my generation having my children say, "Well, what did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do to stop this?" Then the second thing you can do is pass the Freedom to Vote Act.
Yeah.
And then the third thing, and this is what really is ticking me off, just blow up the filibuster. You know, nuke the filibuster. And the reason I say that, I think I sent your crew a clip that Mitt Romney, "Oh, you don't want to do that because, you know, a 50-50 chance Trump might become president.
Yeah.
We might take over the Senate, Stephanie, and you'll need the filibuster for something." Now, get this, other than protecting the voting rights. And that's just another way of saying, you know, you guys want to blow up the filibuster to protect black people. And that's all he's saying, because these voter suppression laws in 49 states, the only reason that they got introduced was because black folk turned out to vote.
Why doesn't someone ask Mitt Romney, Joe, why did your party vote for voting rights 98-0 just a few short years ago under George W. Bush?
The
reason we need to do this is because, as you just said, there are voter suppression bills in 49 states, and we have a Republican Senate that will not even allow debate on this. And
you got it. And that's it. So that's why I decided a hunger strike. So the question is, well, what about your health? It's not about me. It is about my children. And I got to tell you, somebody I wouldn't give you a dime for right now, and that is Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. Yeah. His ancestors, his forefathers, must be rolling over in their grave to be from South Carolina, knowing that when African-American newly freed slaves had the right to vote in South Carolina, they damn near controlled the state legislature. Yeah. They sent members to the Congress, and here he is putting party over principle. I mean,
by the way, tune in this Friday for the biscuit recipe of Tim Scott, as brought to you by Frangela on the Black Power Hour.
Say anything about his biscuits, but Frangela has thoughts. Okay.
Good. Well, that's why I love her, because I don't know how he looks in the mirror at himself.
I know.
I mean, this is crazy. This is great. And South Carolina led the way in disenfranchising black folk.
Well, but also, I mean, how many of these votes are we going to have, Joe, before Manchin gets the, you know, he's the one that's like, "Oh, I do my bill and we'll get Republican votes." He got none. He got one. He got Lisa Murkowski. I mean, just to get a carve out at least for voting rights. You said, agree or disagree, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have done more to help Mitch McConnell than most people of his own freaking party. Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why he openly praises them.
Mm-hmm. No, maybe I can send this to you. I played, I think it was a 2-minute public service piece talking about how Joe Manchin and his family are making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Their average income in West Virginia is $26,000 a year.
Yeah.
And here he is, you know, his whole family is making millions of dollars. And that's why I'm saying to Joe Biden, you know, he's got to be able to find something that Joe Manchin wants, or that at least his state wants. They're damn near last in education. They're damn near last in infrastructure. All that is on record. And I think you have to pull, you got to do what LBJ did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm looking at those photographs behind you, your father and Miller and all that. You tell me you can't find 10 Republicans in the United States Senate that will do the right thing?
Yeah. When all of them just voted for it under George W. Bush. I mean, that's where, I mean, in this Republican Party, they don't even use racist dog whistles anymore, Joe. It's a foghorn in Virginia.
Bingo.
I mean, and the media, as we keep saying, doesn't help. Where's the interview with one black mom and how she feels about her kids not being taught about the history of racism in the country. I mean, why did the media just, you know, talk about this as clever education strategy? Banning a Toni Morrison book, that's your education strategy?
Oh, please. I mean, you know, don't even get me started. I mean, I said it the other day. It's like, you know, it's like a biology teacher in high school teaching brain surgery. Shut up.
I loved your tweet. I respect Aaron Rodgers for his skill, but I'm about to kick his ass for invoking Dr. Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. God. Pat, can you imagine taking... He took the whole thing out of context.
Yeah.
I mean, totally out of... out of... And then, of course, we realized he just lied. I mean, he just
outright
lied.
Well, you said it on Twitter. You said the Green Bay Packers and the NFL have to be held accountable for letting Aaron Rodgers lie about his vaccination status. I mean, talk about from January 6th to that. Mm-hmm. There can't be different rules,
right.
You know, for people that are, you know... Whatever. Right?
I talked to a friend. I talked to a friend I played ball with in college, and he played pro. Went on to play Pro Bowl, and I said, "What? Just give me the inside scoop." He said that Aaron Rodgers actually kicked the whole Green Bay Packer organization under the bus because they had to know that he was not vaccinated. So somebody either changed. They must have forged the medical report because all the teams have to issue a medical report.
Yeah.
And he said, so they either forged it or he lied on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Joe Madison, I love you. I love our team here at SiriusXM. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, but SiriusXM still has a picture of Stephanie Mills up when my show is on. And I've never wanted them to change it because I love it so much. And Frangela loves the fact that I become Stephanie Mills for the Black Power Hour.
We don't want it changed.
No,
we like it that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I sometimes break into when I think of home, I think of a place with love overflowing. Okay. All right. Somebody actually went to a sexy liberal concert and they thought it was a Stephanie Mills show. And they stayed and they still enjoyed the sexy liberal show.
I'm still trying to get tickets to your show.
We'll get you tickets anytime you want.
You'll be on panel, for God's sakes. All right. Listen, please tell Mrs. Eagle. Tell Mrs. Eagle to take good care of you. You're precious.
I will.
Ever since you beat me out for Radio Hall of Fame, I've not bitter at all, and I've loved you so much. You're an American institution.
Oh, Stephanie Louise.
I don't remember it.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Stephanie, I voted for you.
I voted for you. Anyway, tell her to keep you.
That's what happened.
That's right.
Tell Mrs. Eagle I'm jealous of her, but to keep you safe on this hunger strike. And thank you for standing up for democracy and for voting rights. We appreciate it. We appreciate you.
And let's get these people to do the right thing. They've got three things they can do, and pick one.
Yeah.
And let's get this, let's turn this around.
Yeah. And Joe can't do this for long. Joe is ripped.
Biden's not going to get reelected.
Yeah.
Biden's not going to get reelected without the black vote.
That's right.
And they'll never win another national election. They need us.
That's right. That's right. And please, Joe he's not skinny, but he's ripped and he can't do this for very long. So let's hurry up and get voting rights. We love you, Joe Madison. You God, you Adonis. I love you. Goodbye.
Love you, Ben.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I'm only seeing Anonymous on the Zoom. Oh, it's Miles Taylor. Miles Taylor.
He has a face.
Yes.
He has a face.
Such a patriot.
And he's ready to go work out just like you.
That's right.
Did it give you an extra layer of pleasure how insane it drove Donald Trump about who Anonymous was? I mean, during that whole period.
To be honest with you, Stephanie, there weren't a lot of
reasons to crack a grin in that time period. Yeah. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't at least enjoy a little bit how ballistic it made him go. But at the same time, it was alarming. I mean, the president became so obsessed with, you know, yet another quote unquote witch hunt that he didn't do his job. And so, but you know, look, I still smile when he decides to come after me. And when he pretends some days to not have known me, but then to have known me, but known I was so low level that I didn't matter, but then didn't know me again. So I just think it shows that he's getting older. He's got a little bit of dementia.
You were the coffee boy's coffee boy, apparently.
That's right. That's right.
If you've just tuned in, this is Miles Taylor, a.k.a. the famous anonymous.
New York Times bestselling author.
Yes, New York Times bestselling author, co-founder of Renew America Movement. Speaking of renewing America, you tweeted the GOP, you sort of echoed what Jackie Speer just said right there. The GOP civil war has gone from figurative to physical, and that should worry all of us. I mean, I don't know how many people have to warn us that we are really at a very dangerous point, right? I mean, these just my two headlines this morning, Miles. Gun-loving Trump supporters are amassing shock troops to attack democracy, according to a former firearms executive. Death threats, tweets, jolt GOP infrastructure reporters. I mean, is it going to move the needle, you think, with Republicans that Marjorie Taylor Greene is giving out their phone numbers for voting for infrastructure? So now they're getting death threats, along with the members she's Democratic members she's directly threatening.
Yeah, this is real. This is real, and it's very bad, and it's not politics, and it's not hyperbole. I mean, it's actually become, Stephanie, in my mind, a national security threat. Now, I'm not actually in politics. I've never worked on a political campaign. I am now because of this fight against Trump, but I've spent my whole career in national security.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest public safety threats I've seen in our time, is this intense civil discord across the country. Two examples just this week. One was yesterday. Trump said in an interview, basically said in response to the fact that the protesters on January 6th, the insurrectionists rather, were saying they should hang Mike Pence. Trump says, well, you know, they were angry. He basically justifies it. He basically justifies the fact that they wanted to hang the vice president of the United States. Now, to Donald Trump, that's loose talk. But to his supporters, that's a loaded gun that they can go fire. That's what's really scary about it. That's one piece. Number two is I was having a conversation this week with a friend who still works for the FBI and talking about the domestic terrorism numbers that they're seeing, the number of cases they're tracking nationwide. And this person's comment to me was basically the numbers have gone up tenfold since you were in government. Okay, tenfold the number of domestic terrorism cases they're tracking since I left the administration. That's a direct result of the former president's rhetoric. That's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and Olivia Troy, who we've had on the show, I don't know if you're both still Republican, but you're our velociraptors now. Speaking of velociraptors. do you still consider yourself a Republican? Where are you on that?
You know, look, I do, because I'm holding out hope that we can bring the GOP back from the brink. But here's why it's important for people like me to remain a Republican, because if all of the center-right Republicans and the moderates jump ship, we're just ceding the whole battlefield to the extremists.
Yeah.
And even if we all went and joined the Democratic Party, one party rule is not good for this country. And we know that eventually, like all things in American politics, the pendulum will swing back. But if it swings back and we have 1,000 miniature Trumps in the GOP, the country's going to be a lot worse for it. So, I mean, what we're trying to do over at Renew America Movement is protect the common sense coalition at the center, protect the good Republicans against the bad ones, pure and simple. But that's really hard to do in this environment. And I'm not, you know, my friends call me Mr. Brightside, but I've got no illusions about how tough that battle's going to be.
Yeah. I hope that dream gets drowned in a bathtub, as Governor Chris would say. I'm kidding. I hope we can go back to hating each other and arguing over real things again.
That's what I'm hoping. I want to come on here and just have you ripped me to shreds for my,
I want you to be wrong about an entirely different set of things than you are currently wrong about. But I don't know if you see looming over my shoulder, that's my daddy that ran with Goldwater in 64. So I actually share your hope in the sense that I'm never going to be on the GOP side, but we do need two functioning parties in this country, and my dad and Goldwater would not recognize whatever this party has become. I mean, it's just, it really is. They're not a governing party anymore.
Maybe even more than two parties. I mean, here's the thing. Right now,
yes, whatever would hurt Republicans, I am for that, Miles. You do that.
Amen. I mean, we would love to, in certain states, set up a competitive center-right third party that can compete against the GOP if it doesn't reform. I mean, that's something that we've said we're looking at.
That's a fantastic idea.
That's plausible.
That's a fantastic idea, Miles. I am all... See, we agree again.
There we go.
Absolutely a center-right third party. Do it. But you did. You make a point. You make a point in the work you're doing now. Following the insurrection, moderate voters began ditching the GOP in groves. I have a former LAPD friend of mine who has been a conservative all his life. He's like, that was it. Attacking the cops on January 6th. That's it. I'm done. I'm gone from the Republican Party. But you say at the same time, a record proportion claimed to be independent, while a Gallup poll showed the largest increase in Democratic Party affiliation in a decade. Join our big tent, Miles.
Well, I hear you. Look, I think there's bad news actually for both parties. When you look at that Gallup number, that 50%, that's also partly because a lot of people have left the Democratic Party, and it's a historic number. But this is what I compare it to, Stephanie, is this dissatisfaction is like any other consumer demand problem. Right now, you or I could order clothes from wherever we want, food from wherever we want, ride shares from wherever, scooters, you name it. We've got more choice and competition in today's economy than anyone has ever had in world history. Ironically, the only place we don't have choice and competition is in our democracy. Yeah. Is, you know, in states across the country, the political parties have, you know, really tightened up the laws in their favor, and especially in red states with the Republican Party, and they've made it very difficult to compete. And the result is you've got more and more extreme people winning primaries, and then they're guaranteed to win the general election. That's what we've got to break down to give those disaffected voters, half the country, more choice and competition like they expect in their democracy. It's one of the things that we're trying to do, and a center-right third party could be an avenue, but there's a lot of ways.
Quite seriously, Miles, you make a good point, and, your organization, this is just bad for America. You say as rational Republicans flee, more radical ones are doubling down on extremist political positions. And you cite this poll that says a majority of Southern Republicans, 66%, support the idea of secession. I mean, people are throwing that around like it's nothing. Right? Like civil war is they're throwing that term around lightly. And you're right. The less rational people like you there are, the more it's a party now of Paul Gosars and Marjorie Taylor Greens, who are, but completely crazy.
Can you imagine if that figure had come out during the Obama administration?
Yeah.
Republicans would be, they'd be talking about it for months and months and months about how we, need to break away. And clearly, people are so disaffected with Obama that they want to break away, but they're trying to sweep that stat under the rug because they realize that it's a result of their extremist former president, Donald Trump, urging folks to go radical direction. But I mean, you can't overstate that data point that more than half of Southern Republicans think they should secede from the union. I mean, wake up, people. This isn't a shock poll. It's not a mock poll. This is a real, legitimate poll. And go talk to these people. That's how they actually feel. And it's a result of failed leadership. If we hadn't had a president like Donald Trump, I swear to you, that number wouldn't be the way it is. But he gives these people the green light.
Well, and I feel like Democrats are relatively in array, although you wouldn't know from the mainstream media. We just passed a major infrastructure bill. But, I mean, Republicans really are in disarray, aren't they? I mean, this really is a battle for the soul of your party. I mean, you were tweeted about when you go against Trump and his minions, they literally try to erase you. I mean, and yet we read a story yesterday, right, Travis, about, Trump getting in the middle of all these Senate races is really effing things up for them. Like, they're losing good candidates and over this loyalty test to Trump and, his, endless ability to relitigate 2020 over and over again, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how petty they are. That example that you cited, racing history, is very, there's just 1,000 examples throughout the Trump administration. I mean, in my case, the Stalin-esque move that I witnessed is after I spoke out against the president, one of his stormtroopers at DHS went to the plaque of my name on the wall, unscrewed it, and flipped it over so that it would be hidden to erase me. That's comical and silly. What's more worrisome is that individual, and according to that article, that individual, people were worried he was so incensed that he was going to come into the office and shoot people up. I mean, they were
worried
for their safety.
Right.
I had to have a protective detail at the time because of death threats, and the picture of Trump's guy at DHS who did that they sent my security detail that photograph because they said, we want you to be on the lookout. This guy may come after him. I mean, this is how insane it is. Yeah. If I quit the Bush administration where I worked for Dick Cheney's office in DHS, and if I quit the Bush administration in protest, they'd have been mad at me. Yeah, see, that's one place we don't want. But if I'd quit in protest.
No, it's like me cheering for Liz Cheney on January 6th committee. I'm like,
there you go.
Oh, God, Cheney's so right.
The Bush crew would have admonished me, but they wouldn't have tried to kill me if I had quit in protest.
Miles,
the Trump crew, MAGA land, wants to kill me because I don't like their guy.
No, Miles.
Because I witnessed him firsthand and he's a lunatic.
I mean, I've been a flaming liberal for quite some time, but we do have something in common in that I come from a very Republican family. My dad was chairman of the RNC, but he was also a Nuremberg prosecutor. And the fact that people are openly saying we want to burn books, we want to burn, literally, has no one read a history book? We're literally, no, we just don't want to ban them. We want to burn them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just chilling. Just the outright fascism that we're hearing in some quarters. And I don't think it's hyperbole when you look at January 6th to say this is an ongoing coup. As Malcolm Nance says, it's an ongoing insurgency, really, that is enabled by your former boss, Trump, and incited.
I genuinely don't know what mega MAGA people still need to hear to convince them that the man they follow is deeply unstable and authoritarian. Just the other day, his former spokesperson, Alyssa Farah, who, waited till the end to leave the administration, but to her credit, quit in protest after the insurrection. She went out there and said, I feared that if he got reelected, we would descend into authoritarianism. Listen up, folks. That was Trump's own spokesperson who spent day to day with him. Yes. His comms director, Stephanie Grisham, who also spent time with him, has essentially said the same thing. His former chief of staff, his former national security advisor, many, many people. These aren't just disgruntled employees. This was his inner circle that witnessed him in person and thought he was mentally unstable.
Yeah. I have to ask you who you think is going to win this battle in your party, because I know you said, I wonder how Trump feels about Youngkin not mentioning him once in his victory speech. For the GOP to win, they're learning they must lose Trump. Well, and that it, to the degree that it's an SNL sketch, you know that got under Trump's skin, because his skin is, what do we call him? Trumple thin skin.
Yes.
But I mean,
there you go.
But right, I mean, it's just, it is going to be who wins that war between the Trumpers and the sane people in your party, I guess, if there's any left.
Well, look, there's a silver lining there in the Glenn Youngkin victory. You mentioned it. Republicans have found that there is a playbook to go win post-Trump. Hopefully that convinces more moderates to do the same. But your bigger question about the GOP civil war is a really tough one. I think it's gone through three phases. The very first phase was when the Tea Party arose. I called that open hostilities, right? That's when the party was just pitted against each other, the far right against the center. Second phase is what I call the detente. As Trump becomes president, it's not really a detente. It's more like the intimidation. And he silences the dissidents in the party for 4 years. Now we're in a third phase of the GOP civil war called rebellion. And that should tell you where it's at. And that is, it's a rational rebellion, but it's a rebellion because this side that I'm on is a much smaller side. I think the MAGA folks really command the majority of the party at the moment. So it really is an uphill battle. And I think it's going to be a decade long struggle to try to get the GOP back to the brink.
Yeah.
And as I'm saying that's what woke my little puppy up, Martini. Mm-hmm. This is Martini. He wants to win the GOP civil war, but he's going to have to weigh more than 6 pounds to make that happen.
Martini does not look ready for a scrap, but okay.
No, not at all. Just a scrap of food is all that guy will get up for.
I thought that was a Swifter you just lift up, but okay. That was your dog. So I have to ask you, because you seem so sane. Oh, God, now we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. What was it in the first place that made you think this seems like a good idea to go work for Donald Trump? Because it took you from Anonymous.
Yeah, I'll tell you the exact answer. It was a good idea because it was a bad idea, if that makes sense. I had a friend say to me, why would you go in? He's crazy. And my exact answer was, because he's crazy. Donald Trump was number 17 of 17 in the Republican primaries that I thought should win, right? I helped Paul Ryan with his Trump inoculation plan, which failed spectacularly, right? Mm-hmm. We did not succeed in keeping him out of office. But once he won, the fear was that he would do exactly what we saw him do. So I urged, you know, rational Republicans who'd been in the past administration, rush into that administration and try to stabilize it. But that's where we were wrong. We were wrong in thinking we could be guardrails, because the only guardrail is the American people and their vote. And that's why I ultimately quit and said, look, don't rely on unelected bureaucrats.
Yeah.
You have got to go vote him out.
I appreciate you and your bravery, and we're so excited. This is your first time on. I hope you, when you were first, you know, outed as anonymous, I was like, ooh, he's cute. And then, secondly.
And now you're like, but he dresses like a slop tart.
No.
You're fantastic.
You fit right in here.
Yeah.
And I wish you the best of luck, mostly with your third party, center-right third party. Absolutely. You've got all your life to live, all your love to give. Absolutely. A third party is a fantastic idea.
We have linked to it at your Twitter and your Facebook page,
okay.
Stephanie.
Come back again, Miles. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie.
Bye.
And that little swifter of a dog of yours.